to the £1 Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne, and this is episode 30. All the way to episode 30, everybody. Welcome along if you're a new listener. If you're a new listener and this is your 30th time returning, or 10th time, or whenever, welcome back. Lovely to hear you. Lovely to see you. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Well, that's what we're doing. So, for those of you who don't know, and for those of you who do, the £1 Movie Podcast is exactly what it says it is. I've been out into the world, into places where people venture to find cheap DVDs. Like, people venture? I'm rambling already, we've not even started the episode. Anyway, I've been out into charity shops, CEX, anywhere you can find a cheap DVD movie for £1 or less. That is the entire crux of the show. If you can find a DVD for less, great. But as in the case of this one was four for a pound from a charity shop. And on episode 30, we should be talking about 2008's The Lodge.
This place is ours, the entire weekend.
Here's to whatever the weekend brings.
So, 2008's The Lodge. It's a horror thriller. It is directed by Brad Helming, and John Rorschelbach. Rorschelbach. It stars Kevin McClatchy, Elizabeth Keir Kell, and a chap called Owen Shazabo. Owen Szabo. He has a running time of 83 minutes. It is an 18 certificate. I couldn't find out the budget or the gross. And the IMDb score is 3.8 out of 10. And the Rotten Tomatoes is 11%. It's not boding well already. Anyway, the synopsis now from the back of the DVD. Michael and Julia travel to the remote Two Rivers Ranch to spend a romantic weekend alone in a lodge, nestled deep in the Rocky Mountains. As the weekend begins, the couple meet the caretaker, Henry, who seems suspiciously unfamiliar with the surrounding area. Little by little, they develop more questions about their weekend retreat and the fate of the previous guests. As their suspicions continue to grow, they discover the biggest secret of all. Desi, a 13-year-old girl alone in the dark hallways of the lodge. Before too long, their idyllic getaway becomes a life and death struggle that pits Michael and Julia against the only man for miles, and more importantly, the lodge itself. Well, there's a synopsis there, people. I'd put a bit more dramatic effect in, I think, than they did, but okay. Background on the film. The film is shot on location in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I had to watch some behind-the-scenes YouTube clips because I couldn't really find anything out about this film, I'll be honest. And basically, that's really all I had access to. The directors, Brad and John, they said that basically they had access to this lodge, whatever that means. I'm guessing it's their parents or friends or something like that. And that's where they should, you know, it just seemed obvious to shoot this film on location there. It won an audience award for Best Narrative Feature at the 2008 Oxford International Film Festival. Who knew? Oxford International Film Festival. I don't know if that's Oxford, Britain, by the way. I couldn't find it out. I'm guessing not. We'll talk about Brad Helmick now. So, director Brad Helmick is an American director-writer with 7 director credits, including Paradox from 2017, We Will Say Grace from 2020, and has 5 writer credits as well for those films also. The other director of this film, John Rorschach, he's a constant collaborator with Brad Helmick. And that's about it. That's all I could find out about these guys, to be honest. It's the trouble when you find little films like this. You do struggle to find anything out. So we'll talk about the actors now. Elizabeth Kell plays Julia. She has 5 actor credits to her name, including a film called The Mourner, which is a short film from 2008, and a film called Within from 2009. And that's about it for Elizabeth Kell. Owen Shasbo, who plays Michael, he's a bit of a different story. He has 24 actor credits to his name, including SWAT Unit 887 from 2015, loads and loads and loads of TV work, including Bones, General Hospital, Midnight Texas, all that sort of stuff. As well as an actor, he's also a stunt performer with 58 credits to his name in the stunt work, including American Horror Story, Snake Eyes, and apparently he's in the new Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series. As a stunt actor as well. And it looks like The Lodge was his acting debut. So a bit of critical response. Joel Harvey from HorrorTalk.com said, "I'll never know because the domain is for sale." So you'll never know what he said because it's for sale. Movie House's Johnny Webb said, "So far as I can see, not one idea which is original or worthwhile, and only a few moments of real suspense on its way to an ending which somehow manages to be simultaneously ridiculous and expected." Steve Q from Down Among the Z Movies, they've got a really cool way to identify films, and what it does is it sort of just gives you a couple of words and that's it. It says, "How bad is it? It's bare bones, zero budget fodder." And they said, "Should you see it? I'd say no, but it won't kill you, but there are other films." Onto Letterboxd now. I always like to use Letterboxd. Letterboxd gives this a score of 1.9 out of 5, which is a very low rating. Jake Gatcombe said, 1 star, "I watched The Lodge. Rory IM gave it 0.5 star and said, "Halfway through, I was forced to take a good hard look at myself and how I choose what movies I watch." I found 1 5-star review, but there was no reason why. So it was just a 5-star review. I'm guessing it might have been a finger slip. I'm not sure. We shall find out. So we're all right, moving on now to The Expectation. Oh, shit. I think it might have happened again. I've had a string of fucking rubbish films of late. And I think this might be up there with them, unfortunately. I don't think this will be good. I'm expecting lots of unnecessary long shots. You know, of nothing. Of dark hallways and nothing, you know, and scenery that's really badly shot. And from what I can tell, there'll be lots of attempt at tension building that will just come across as boring. As with all these films, I'm expecting a terrible script and some really badly directed actors. Like I've said before, I just want one thing that's good. That's all. That's all I'm after in this film. So anyway, with that dour expectation, I'm hoping I'm wrong. We will break for an intermission now. If it's your first time, you won't know this. I haven't seen this film. I'm going to break now for an intermission and go and watch a film and then come back and tell you all about it. So here's the intermission. I'm back from watching the film. Spoilers ahead, everybody. We'll talk about the whole film from start to finish. If you want to watch 2008's horror thriller, The Lodge, pause the podcast now, go watch it, come back, and we can have a chat about it. But you have been warned, spoilers from here on in, and we'll go with my initial reaction. So, I've got to admit, I'm wrong. My expectation was very dour and very, you know, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's well shot, it's well edited, it's not brilliantly acted, but in doing this podcast and watching the films I've watched, it's not the worst acting I've ever seen. It's fine. It's pretty much everything is down to plotting and screenplay are the bad points. There's a lot of build-up, and I use that word sparingly before you really get to the bones of the story and get to some sort of action and horror. To be honest, that's where the problems really begin in the film. And this film is more than a bit nasty in nature. It's got some real like dirt to it, and not in a good way. But we'll get to that as we go along, and I'll explain the reasons why. So we'll break down the whole film now. So like I say, spoilers ahead, and we'll just break the plot as we go. So we start on a glimpse a naked woman who's bound to a bed, and with an unknown assailant stabs her off camera. You see the knife, you see this woman on the bed, and then it sort of cuts away. Then the unknown assailant walks through the house, which I assume is the lodge. He steps over a body in the hallway on his way to the cellar, which is actually the garage. And there's another woman tied to a chair down there, and the knife goes to her throat, and we cut to black. And then we get the opening credits. It shows the wilderness, and which somehow they managed to make look fake. You know, I know this is shot on location, I don't know how, but they do make it look like it's not really there, like it's green screen or something. And then we come across a truck with a man and a woman in, who are Julia and Mike, and they are en route to the lodge. So far, it's all very over-stylized, in a bad way, like a Hallmark film, as delusions of grandeur sort of a way. You know, there's lots and lots of soft focus. You know, I mean, it's so soft that it looks out of focus. Lots of Vaseline on the lens sort of thing. Anyway, Michael and Julia arrive at the lodge, and Michael tells Julia that they're going to have sex in every room, but they can't find the key to the house. But it doesn't matter, as the doors are open. There's meant to be a caretaker letting them in, but he's nowhere to be seen. They walk through this house, they walk through the lodge, and the kitchen is an absolute fucking disaster. There's just pots and pans and like detritus everywhere. They go and check out the rest of the house, and Mike hears a creaking in the walls and just dismisses it. Doesn't even, you know, it's like, oh, that's it. You know, it's a wooden house, that's it. Never thinks about it again. Well, I suppose you would, wouldn't you? Julia shows Mike the den, complete with pool room, and there's a noise in the basement. At this point, Henry shows up. Henry is the caretaker of the lodge, and his hands are absolutely covered in blood.
Yeah, who are you?
Wait, so you're Henry?
Yeah, I'm Henry. Henry Harper.
I'm Michael. We spoke on the phone. I booked the lodge, remember? We talked about...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Beg pardon. I was just cutting up some venison out in the garage. Didn't realize what time it was.
It's okay. This? This is Julia, the most beautiful girl in the world.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Harper.
Julia?
This is a beautiful place you have.
I'll take care of this. You kids go take a walk and let me clean up around here and get it ready for you.
So, Henry's rocking some serious Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes here. He tells them to go for a walk while he cleans up and sorts the house out, and he makes them dinner. I'm only guessing, that Henry's not a good dude, and the dinner he makes are the people from the start of the film. Could be wrong, but it's, yeah, well, we shall see as we go along. I mean, it's not confirmed, but we shall see. Henry says to the couple that he'll be off for the night, and he goes to get their bags from the car for them. I mean, 14 minutes in, and I'd be off home. No fucking about at all. Fuck this vacation. There's no chance. It's too freaky. You know, there's too... It's a vibe. That's what you're getting from this. Anyway, he takes their bags, and he goes, you know, takes them to the room, rifles through them, don't fuck around. He finds a pair of Julia's pants, and takes them, of course he does. Sniffs them, because that's what you do in these situations here. And he takes her pants along with their keys and their phone. This is 2008, people, because they don't bother, you know, worrying about their phone until it's just packed away. So it's not, they're not like smartphones or anything like that. They just take them away. Julia and Mike now get all hot and bothered and heavy in the bedroom, while Henry watches the river flow by. Michael comes out to see Henry and brags about the sex. To be honest with you, at this point, I was sort of on Henry's side. I was like, fucking scumbag. Straight away, you know, comes out like, oh, I've just had me some afternoon delight. Fucking scumbag. The pacing and tone of this film is a bit all over the place at this point. But the acting is okay. You know, it's not, like I say, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. That they're doing a decent job with this film. Julia goes into the garage to get some fishing rods, some fishing poles. And Henry creeps up behind them. And Julia asks about the blood that's all over the fridge. And he says, oh yeah, it's the deer that these people shot. And she's like, well, why didn't they take it with him? He says, I don't know. Well, they've left me venison. I can eat that over the winter, so it's not a problem. We cut to Julia and Michael now, who go outside to smoke some weed, and Henry catches them, tells them he's off home again, and then he'll see him tomorrow, and they're like, oh, he's cool, you know, he's caught a smoking weed, he's fine, and now it's hot tub time, everybody. Hot tub time in the dark. There's, like, no lights at all. They just go and jump in the dark, you know, it's in the dark. I honestly, at this point, the way the film feels, it's a bit sleazy. I thought Julia was going to turn up naked. But she doesn't, apparently, you know, that's it. Because that's the way the film's giving me that vibe, you know, anyway. So Julia goes and jumps in the hot tub and she's all relaxing in the dark, like I say. And Henry creeps up out, like, the wilderness and just sniffs her hair. And you're like, this dude's fucking weird, let alone anything else. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a horror thriller and you're like, but is he just weird? Or is he a killer? Is he just fucking because he's isolated? You're not sure at this point. We cut to later that night and Julia can't sleep. So she goes for some late night snacks in the kitchen. Cornflakes, apparently. And as she walks towards the kitchen, something walks by the window. Michael is awoken by something in the attic. Apparently at some point, Henry has told him that there's birds in the attic. I must have missed that. But apparently that's what Michael says. They discover now that a room from earlier, which is called the Victorian room, is now locked. But neither seem concerned about this at all. Neither can sleep, so they go play pool. And they run around the house in the dark, which apparently is foreplay. Okay. Julia then sees a ghost girl out of the window, and Michael goes to investigate. I mean, he's completely blasé about the whole fucking thing.
You know what I think? I think you made up this little girl so that you won't have to have hard, wild, nasty sex with me.
What are you talking about, Michael? If I don't want to have sex with you, I have no problem telling you. In fact, I would enjoy letting you know.
Jules, I was kidding. You need to calm down. You can be really scary sometimes.
It's not normal to see something like that, okay? It's spooky. I mean, what is this place, like a haunted lodge?
They go to bed, and as they're asleep, I mean, oh, how the fuck would you be able to go to bed after that? You know, this little white fucking ghost girl appears at the window. They go to bed anyway, and they fall asleep. And as they're falling asleep, this music starts playing from another room. Michael goes to investigate, and it turns out it's a radio clock alarm. But dun dun dun, the Victoria room is now open. It's mysteriously open. There's things going on here, people. I'd have been, you know, reaching for the car keys and going, not fucking sure about this, you know. But they're sort of, I don't know, it's, the room was locked earlier. They checked it. It's now open. Just fine. Don't worry about it. There's a ghost girl at the window. You know, there's things going on. Then the fucking music starts playing. I mean, there's more ghostly apparitions now, but no one sees them. This is all just dramatic irony. You know, you see that there's something going on that they don't see. Julia is upset about the music, but Michael's very logical. He's, you know, it's a radio alarm clock. It's just gone off. That's it. Somebody set it. Funny, you know, and that's it. I mean, I'm not sure now about this film. I thought it was going to be a slashery type film, but from what's been happening in the last, you know, 10 minutes or so, I'm slightly impressed that they've managed me to question a few things. You know, is Henry a killer or is he just a strange man who lives in an isolated lodge? You know, is that really a little ghost girl? You know, is it like some sort of scraggly urchin or is it a genuine apparition? And I was impressed with that. You know, we're talking 35, 40 minutes in here and they're asking me questioning it. Anyway, next day, Julia and Michael go for a hike, which is probably the worst shot part of the film. You know, you're out in the fucking Colorado Rockies and there's no shortage of landscape out there and there's not one shot. You know, there's not one long or wide shot of fuck all. It's all, you know, just them in the middle of the frame following, you know, a track. And you follow them. That's it. Boring fucking hell. I mean, they had a chance to show how isolated they were there, and they just blew it completely because of focusing on these two. Anyway, while Julia and Michael are out hiking, they find a car. There's blood on the door, and, you know, they find a wallet. And there's a license in this wallet for Henry Parker, not Harper, which he's told them that's what his name is. So, is it just a mistake? We don't know. They go back to the lodge to call the police. Genuinely surprised by this, because everything else at this point, yeah, you could have just wrote it off as, you know, these things of, you know, oh, you saw this, yeah, but you're out in the dark, you saw this little ghost girl, yeah, but, you know, your mind's playing tricks on you, all this and that, you know. This is the first time they've come across something and they've genuinely used common sense. I was very impressed with that. But of course, all the phones are dead and now they can't find their keys or their phone. I mean, like I say, 2009, long before the smartphone, you know, overloaded everybody. So you wouldn't have it on you all the time. They go to find the keys and the phone in the Victoria room, and Julia finds her pants are sticking out of one of the drawers in this dresser. And then they hear a noise and they find the ghost girl in the cupboard, and she's real. She is real after all. She's not an apparition. Henry shows up now, and Julia, Michael and the little ghost girl sneak out of the back door while Henry's walking in through the front, and they go to the car after finding their keys. But the car won't start. Henry has cut the ignition, so they're going fucking nowhere. Henry comes out of the garage and he just menaces them. He sort of taps the window, you know, and he just sort of disappears. And this is the point of the film, everybody, where everything gets fucking nasty and very mean. And it's mean-spirited from here on in. So you get this little mute girl that they found, who we find out her name is Desi. She puts a garrote around Michael's neck while he's sat in the driver's seat and starts to choke him. And Julia gets out the car and tries to run. Henry catches her, and this girl, it gets all very brutal. While Michael sort of passes out from the tourniquet around his throat, Henry kicks Julia in the stomach and then punches her in the face. Shocked. It absolutely shocked me. Because we're like 45 minutes into this film and we've had a few creepy moments, and then out of fucking nowhere you get this absolute fucking treachery towards this woman, and, well, this violence towards this woman. Just wasn't seen. I didn't see it coming. I don't know if that's intentional. It doesn't feel intentional. It just feels like we get to this part in the story and it's just fucking violent. Henry drags Michael into the attic and he's bound and gagged. And Julia is tied to a chair downstairs. He pours her a glass of wine and puts something in it. After many attempts to give her this wine, she sort of like manages not to get it in there. He throws it in her face and slaps her like hard around the face. Again, shocking. You know, it's sort of very left field.
Henry, you can have anything you want, anything.
My name isn't Henry.
Where's the owner of the lodge?
I'm in charge.
Is he?
You don't talk.
So we're up to just coming upon 50 minutes here. The violence that has happened is so out of step with the rest of this film and the tone of this film that it made my brow furrow. You know, like, wow, didn't see that coming at all. Henry takes Julia to a bedroom, and it's underneath where Michael is. Michael's in the attic, it's underneath. He binds Julia to the bed, and the ghost girl turns up and says, and Henry says to her, you can have her after Daddy. This is all kinds of fucked up. We've gone completely, you know, after 50 minutes of this film, we've gone completely into sort of incesty, weird, father-daughter, serial killer area here. I wasn't seeing this coming. This was hard to watch this, you know. We fade out on the premise that Henry has raped Julia and maybe murdered her. Like I said, nasty, really fucking nasty. We focus back on Michael in the attic and a very, very long scene of him struggling with his binds. And I'm talking way over 2 minutes of him struggling with his binds in the attic. This is one of those scenes. You could have cut this down. You could have struck your film down even more. But yeah, it's over 2 minutes of him just struggling. We see that Julia isn't dead, but she's still strapped to the bed. The feral ghost girl comes in to clean Julia up. Like I said, we find out her name is Desi. And she has this fucking tray of torture implements. You know, like something you'd see in Little Shop of Horrors, the dentist scene sort of thing. Desi goes to fetch something else, and Henry's watching the television and sort of scratching his balls and nonchalantly says to her, "Is that girl dead yet?" You know, it's just a bit of, I don't know, it's just strange. It's a bit of, like I say, strange father-daughter dynamic, just, you know, just for good measure. Julia manages to get herself free, and she has a scrap with Henry and manages to escape. She finds a pool cue and creeps around in the dark, where Henry sneaks up on her and overpowers her, but again, she manages to get away. And then we go back and check on Michael, who's still struggling. You know, he's fuck knows how long, you know, of course you would be still struggling, to be honest, but still struggling with his binds, and then finally he gets free. Desi says to Henry, "I'll kill her," and makes off after Julia, who's disappeared into the night. Michael gets out of the attic, and as he's coming down the attic stairs, Henry's coming on his way up to see him, I'm guessing, so to, you know, check on him or kill him. And he kicks him in the face and manages to run out of the house and makes it to the stables, pursued by Henry again. Michael hides in the stables and finds the corpses of the former holidaymakers, the former Airbnb punters. And then we get this.
"Michael, I know you're in here, rich boy. Come on, Michael. Hey, we got something in common now, man. I mean, that Julia. She... she is just one...
Fucker!
What are you going to do, call the cops?
We're not sure if we'll work on Monday.
They're kind of looking for me.
Oh, you think?
It's fucking heaven. It's everywhere, Henry.
My name isn't Henry.
What?
What? That's why they're not going to catch me. This place, I just borrowed it for a little fun. And then I'm heading down the road for some more fun. Hey! I ain't been caught in 16 years. You're in the hands of a pro.
Henry gets a chainsaw, of course he does, because, you know, we're not gone, you know, hillbilly enough yet, to Michael, and just as he's about to use it, Julia turns up and shoots Henry in the back with a nail gun a couple of times, and they sort of, and he says, "Are you going to pay for that?" And she says, "No, no, I won't," and actually tries to fire some more nails at this gun. It won't fire, it's jammed, or there's no bullets. I have a bit of a struggle, and she bludgeons him to death with an iron pipe. After, like I say, after a bit of a skirmish, Julia and Michael now sit and cry, because of course you would. They head off into the night, cautious, because Desi's still out there, this little violent teenage girl, and it's all very calm. And they are very calm about it. It's all, you know, let's go off into the house. You know, you've just suffered all this indignity and violence and you name it, and it's all very calm. They're all very calm about it. Fuck knows why. Anyway, Desi is doing her best ghost girl impression thing and, you know, running from room to room. And Julia gets upset about killing Henry. I quite like this scene because it shows that they are just normal people sort of thing. It was okay. Michael has got a head injury that's sort of messing him about, and it's fucking him up. So he stops outside, and Julia goes in to get the car keys, which is obviously a trap. Desi appears down a dark hallway, but Julia escapes through a door. Then Desi appears behind her and pushes her down some stairs. Desi pursues Julia with a, you know, weapon of torture, and just when all hope is lost, Michael turns up and knocks her out.
Is she?
So, Michael, no. She's gonna need a hospital.
Fuck that. We need a hospital. Let me get the keys.
What happened to you?
They get to the car, which I assume is Henry's, because obviously theirs is still fucked. And Julia says, "Why did you bring me here?" And Michael holds an engagement ring out of sight, sort of at the side of his leg. You know, we're running up to the end now. As they drive off, we see Desi appear at the back window, you know, in some sort of like, you know, final evil scare. And then after all this, yeah, stuff. The end. It's a strange film. It's strange in tone. It's strange in setup. You know, you witness murders at the start, and then it's like 45 minutes till you get back to any sort of violence and any sort of, you know, slashery fun. And it's not fun. It's not like watching a Nightmare on Elm Street film or a Friday the 13th film. You know, the tone is really weird. It's like a home invasion film, but like an Airbnb version of it, you know. So you go to him and he kills you rather than him invading your home, you invade his sort of thing. Something I missed out in my breakdown of the synopsis of the plot was that Henry admits that he's a serial killer and they just move on down the road. It's not his lodge, it's just that's what he does. I've just missed it out completely. I mean, all the setup is so slow. And sort of leads you and then misleads you down this sort of haunting storyline. You know, they like to show you that Desi's there and sort of, you know, there's lots of movement in the background. They then completely handbrake turn into that sexual violence. And it's like, it's so shocking and so handbrake turn because they're setting you up one way and then sort of circumventing. But normally I'd be all for that. But because of the way tonally shifts so quickly, it gives you whiplash. You know, the violence towards Julia, in particular Julia, I found just, it was too gleeful by the filmmakers. That they just sort of lingered on it for too long, and it was really violent. You know, the punch looked like an actual punch. You know, there was way too much of that directed at that one character. You know, it's almost like she was being punished. Not like Ashes in The Evil Dead, where it's you know, comic violence. This is violence. It shocked me. It was not good at all. I mean, on a technical level, it's all very adequate. You know, there's a few missed opportunities with shots and things like that. But like on a technical level, the way it's shot, the way it's performed, the way it's edited, and all put together, it's a fine film like that. It's, I say fine, I don't mean a fine film. It's a working film. There's a start, a middle, and an end. It all fits together. I mean, like I say, it's from 2008. So, like, this is right around the time of The Purge and The Strangers, you know, and the big hits of that time. So, a low-budget, nasty sort of makes sense. It just didn't play well now. So, perhaps that's his problem. You know, it's, what we're talking, 14 years since this has been released. And, you know, I had a hard time believing Henry as a killer as well, by the way. But then again, so do people with Ted Bundy. So it's just one of those, isn't it? There's a few threads that needed tying up. You know, were they cannibals? Did they feed them, the other people, at the start? You know, they never sort of, you never get to see inside what's in the freezer. You only take his word for it that it's venison. It possibly could be venison. I'm guessing it's cut up people. But then there's people in the barn who aren't cut up. So it's a bit like, is he not lying? Is it venison? Did he cook them venison? Did he cook them people? You know, it doesn't tie up very well there. Like I say, it's a nasty film at heart and not in a good way. So we're rounding up to the verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, reached a verdict.
Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation,
the jury will retire and consider the evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Let me judge!
So, the verdict to this, I'm going to say 30p out of a pound. It's well put together, and it's a little ill-advised and ill-conceived, and at times it's downright nasty. But I've seen worse. It's just a bit shocking. That's pretty much it. You're not going to get like, it's not like watching, it's not like watching a Serbian movie, or you know, Human Centipede or anything like that. It's just shocking because it's tonally different. And then when they do that, it shifts. But anyway, I've gone on too long enough about that. That's episode 30 all wrapped up. That's The Lodge. If you come back again, thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much for coming along. Do all that good stuff on Twitter and all that. You know, I'm there, the £1 Movie Pod. And please tell a friend if you like the show, if you want to promote my podcast. If not, I'm happy for the listen. So thank you very much. And I will see you again soon with episode 31. Take care. And thanks again for listening. I've been Wayne, and this has been the £1 Movie Podcast. Goodbye.